This is a familiar verse of Scripture. I've used it now for some time on Sunday night, and it's one that I really feel and believe the truths concerning the Lord's church. And this is what Jesus said there in this conversation between Jesus and Peter, and he said, And I say to thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against thee. There are two things that I want to give to you tonight and mention. We had talked about that the Lord's church is a New Testament organization. There was not a church of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. We talked about that it is a local body. That's in contrast to something that is universal, which is worldwide, invisible, that you can't see. And it's totally different from a universal visible that Catholicism or Catholics believe, that which theirs is. And we gave several scripture references dealing with the book of Corinthians and all, and the church at Antioch, how that the Lord has his churches like in Russellville, Olmsted, and you know wherever that he has them throughout the world. And there are local churches that can be seen. Then I talked about the power that the Lord's church has, one of the most powerful institutions there is on the face of the earth. And the thing that I mentioned in the closing last Sunday night that I wanted to preach on tonight was the perpetuity and succession of the Lord's churches. Now, perpetuity is spelled P-E-R-P-E-T-U-I-T-Y, perpetuity. Now, if you know anything about the word perpetual, it's uttered from the word perpetual. You know, our cemetery over here, we have what is referred to as perpetual care. That means that it's supposed to mean that it'll always be cared for and it'll always be taken care of. Now, that's what that's supposed to mean. And so the same thought or the idea, when you talk about the perpetuity of the Lord's church, it just simply means this. It just simply means from the time that the Lord instituted his church, which was during the first year of his public ministry, that it will be in existence when he comes again. It won't go out of existence then now, but it will be in existence. In other words, from the first year of his public ministry, when he instituted his church, up until the Lord comes again, his kind of church will be in existence. Now, we believe that it will not go out of existence, but it will have a very special place as far as with the Lord Jesus Christ, because we believe that it will become, it is now his bride, and then it will become his wife. And so it will be then on throughout the eternal ages. We believe that and bank that on the scripture of Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 21. So there is, and there is, as I mentioned last Sunday night, there is a difference between perpetuity and succession. Now, I believe the Bible both teaches perpetuity, and perpetuity is, since the Lord began his church, as he said here, "Now say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." From that first year of his public ministry till the Lord comes again, there will be one of his kind of churches in existence. Even when you go back through history and read of all the martyrs, and you read Fox's Books of Martyrs, you read the Dark Ages and all of that, and it looks as though there was a time there perhaps that there was none of the Lord's churches, but there was. And the reason is because of this strong promise of perpetuity. And so he said here in this, "The gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And what he means there is the gates of Hades, or that it shall not go out into the unseen world. That's all it means. It just will not go out of existence. It will be in existence. That's just how simple and plain that is. But then he said in Ephesians 3:21, "Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus." And he said, "Throughout all ages." And then he said, "World without end." Now I believe, and there's several things that we find that brings to our attention how that the Lord's church and continues to exist and will be in existence when he comes again. If you'll look with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and you know when you know and when you come to know the truth of the Lord's church, It's not hard to understand some of the things that we practice as Baptists. And one of the things that we practice as Baptists is, of course, we practice immersion for his baptism. And then we practice the Lord's Supper. Now, if you look in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 18, you'll find that when Paul was writing here pertaining to the Lord's Supper, now, he said, first of all, when you come together in the church, now, I want you to see that. Well, first of all, when you come together in the church, and that's where the Lord's Supper is to be observed. The Lord's Supper is to be observed by the Lord's churches. Now, he gave that to his churches. And as often as you do this, you do it in remembrance of me. But he went on and said, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. But now it is to be observed by the Lord's churches until he comes. Now, what's that mean? If the Lord, it means he's coming, but if the Lord's Supper is to be observed until he comes, there'll be churches observing it. In other words, there'll be churches that will be in existence till the Lord comes. And that's not just anybody's church or any kind of church. That's the Lord's church that will be in existence until the Lord comes. And so I remember, and I thought back several years ago, and I was discussing and talking with one of these fellows when I was over at Monticello. And he said, now, I'm not a landmarker. And I said, well, what do you mean? Now, I ain't no landmarker either. I mean, I know what he was getting at. And if they said J.R. Graves was a landmarker, and he believed this old thing of a Baptist bride and the Lord's churches, and somebody said, well, that just recently came on the scene. No, it hasn't. It's been this ever since the Lord. You know, and in other words, what he was saying is that what he was getting at was that he did not really, he wasn't as narrow-minded as we are, believing that baptism belonged to the Lord's church, and the Lord's Supper was just for the Lord's churches and just for the members of those churches. But the Scriptures makes it very clear and very plain that it is. And I don't know, I told my wife, I don't know what's going to happen, but I dream all the time about going back over and preaching at that big church. And what I'm going to preach, you know. And what I'm going to say, and I had last night I wrestled all night long about I don't even know nothing about them, but I visioned all the mess they were in, you know, and everything was happening going on, and how that I went and said, this can't be. We got to cut out sports, and we got to cut this out and cut that out, and you know, that's a killer today in some churches. That's a killer when you cut out sports, and when you cut out a lot of other things, that's a killer, because what they're interested in is entertainment. They're not interested in the Word of God and preaching the Word of God. And I said, we got to cut out all these sales. And so I really haven't worked cut out for me. But anyway, it is to be observed in the Lord's churches until he comes. And this is exactly what he says here in verse 26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. So you show his death, and it talks about his death, talks about his coming, but it also talks about that there's churches that's going to be observing the Lord's Supper and doing this till he does come. And so that is the perpetuity of the Lord's churches. So therefore, since the ordinance must be observed in a local church, and since it must be observed until the Lord comes, means that there will be churches when the Lord comes. His kind of churches that will be in existence when he comes again. Now, there's a difference in perpetuity and succession. Now, there's a principle. There's a biblical principle, and that is that, and the Lord gave to his church the quality of reproduction. There is a biblical principle that kind begets kind. That is a biblical principle. If you're going to have one of the Lord's churches that come into existence, it has to come from one of the Lord's churches in order for it to come in existence. It can't come from nothing, but it comes from one of the Lord's churches. And so succession just merely means this. It just merely means that when this church came into existence, it came into existence because there was another church that authorized the existence of this church. And that's what succession is. And sometimes we're ridiculed and mocked, and a lot said about, well, you know, rattle your chain. I hear some Baptists say, rattle your chain. I don't hear your chain rattling. Rattle your chain. See, we say chain link succession. In other words, kind beget kind, church passed right down each church, all the way from the Church of Jerusalem down to this present day. Well, and what they're saying is that, well, you can't find all those chains in history. But I don't care whether you can find them or not. The promise of perpetuity gives us also the promise of succession. If there's always been the Lord's churches, and if there's going to be the Lord's churches to come, they've always been there. In other words, there's never been ain't a missing link. In other words, they've always been there right up until the time as the Lord comes. And so that's why that we're very particular. In other words, you don't go out here. In other words, if somebody in this church gets mad, they don't go out and say, well, I'm going to go out and start me a church. Well, they may do that, but if they do, they won't have no authority. Because authority comes from where authority is. And the Lord gave authority to His church, and He gave them this when He said in the commission, when He said, go into all the world, make disciples, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world, even unto the end of the age. So there we find the promise of perpetuity. So I pray, and I really think, and when you really get into preaching church truth, people get confused. People say, and Baptists have never claimed that salvation was in a church. Salvation is in Jesus Christ. And you can be saved and never be in a church, in a man-made one, or in one of the Lord's either. You can be saved and never be, because salvation is not there. But when you really get to talking about the church is the pillar and the ground of the truth, when you get to talking about that it's a local institution, when you get to talking about it's the only one that has the right to carry out the two ordinances, and when you get to talking about that, then the Lord's going to take those true churches and faithful members from them, and He's going to make up His bride, people say, oh, you're saying everybody ain't saved. I ain't saying that at all. Just trying to teach the truth of the Lord's church and how important it is to be in one of the churches of the Lord where the truth is taught. And where the truth is not only taught, but where the truth is practiced. How important that it is. So, now, you think about this thing of perpetuity. Continued succession. It's a continuation. Perpetuity just means perpetual. Perpetual is what it means. Just right on. Keeps going and right on and we'll be there. And then when you talk about succession, just, you know what it means to succeed one state. And I thought about the counties. You know, about all. When Kentucky became a state, there wasn't about two or three counties, and one of them was Logan. And everybody else down around here branched off of Logan. But they came from another county. They came off from Logan. And so we see that there was succession, and that's the way it is as far as the Lord's churches. Now, we've noticed several things in this, and this is a great big sermon when you get into the perpetuity of the of the Lord's churches. And He did not promise this perpetuity to an individual church. But He promised it to His church as an institution. Now see, we're one of the Lord's churches, but we're not the only one of the Lord's churches. There are other churches that have been properly organized and that have the truth of God's Word, and the candlestick has not been removed, and they're still operating today. There are other churches besides our church. I said this all along. I said, you know, not everybody's going to be a member of our church. But the ones are that the Lord saves and adds to it. They're the ones that are going to be. And I believe that we find that He did not promise us just perpetuity as an individual church. You say, well, what do you mean by that? Well, perpetuity of any church, individual church, is conditional. The church at Ephesus was warned. Now, you read the book of Ephesians, it was written to the church at Ephesus. The church of Ephesus was one of the large churches in Ephesus, but it's not in existence today. It does not exist today. What happened? The church of Ephesus was warned, for this is what He said. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works. Or else, this is Revelation 2:5. Or else, I will come unto thee quickly. That's the church at Ephesus. I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Now, what makes a church is that there's a candlestick. And that's not something you put candles on. That's not what he's talking about at all. But what he's talking about is, it is the special presence of the Holy Spirit that indwells the true churches of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here's what he says. He says, unless you repent, I'm going to come over there and take my presence away from you. You know what you've got as a church without the Lord? Nothing. You're just an organization. You're just an organization that's preaching the Word, trying to do some good. And the world's full of them. And everyone that's been started by a man and has not had the authority that has been extended to them and does not have a standard of the truth of God's Word, they're not churches. They're churches in name only, but they are not churches. And so the church at Ephesus was warned, and evidently he removed the candlestick because it's evident they're not existent. Then the church at Laodicea, look in the 3rd chapter and verse 16. And here's what he said at the church at Laodicea. Now, what I'm saying institutional sense means institutional sense. That's what it means. Well, I'm trying to explain this. But anyway, y'all know what an institution is. All of the Lord's churches belong to the Lord. And they're His. And there is going to come a day and a time that we're going to all those are going to be brought together as the wife of God. But now, look what he said here in Revelation 3:16. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Now, what do you do to the church of Laodicea? It's evident he spewed them out of his mouth. They didn't repent. He warned them. And I believe that we find time and time again, and you go to all those seven churches of Asia Minor, and it was where that the Lord walked in the midst of them. And that's what the candlestick is. That's the presence of the Lord. He walked in the midst of them. He visited there, and he dwelled there with his people. He came there in his presence and his power. And so, they're no longer in existence. Now, perpetuity of Olmsted Baptist Church is conditional. This church is one of the true churches of the Lord Jesus Christ, but it can go out of existence if we leave our first love. That's one way it can go out. Anyway, if we allow members to have false doctrine, like the doctrine of Balaam, Nicolaitans. And then if we let Jezebel seduce our members, as listen to one of them here, if we let the things of God die, that is doctrine and practice, if we become lukewarm and just get in a form and become ritualistic, you know what can happen? Or we might go on and have services. But what good does it do to have services if the Lord ain't here? You say, well, he's indwelling me. Sure, he indwells you. But he also, there's a special indwelling of the Holy Spirit that indwells his churches. And so there are many things that we must consider concerning perpetuity and concerning succession and whether or not that a church will stay in existence. It is what we do with what he has given us and what he has commissioned us to do as to whether or not that we will continue as one of the Lord's churches. Doesn't it bother you to think there could ever be a possibility that this could one day not be a church? I'm not talking about this building immaterial. Not the building. It's the people sitting out there. That's a church sitting out there. Buildings can be destroyed and they come and go. And so these are two things I want you to keep in your mind tonight. And I've got about 5 or 6 points on this. And I want you to keep this in mind. Perpetuity and succession. Jesus said, "Now I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Now, I would that this church would be in existence when the Lord comes again, and I could be able to say, Lord, here's your little flock.